You can tell them in the country, tell them in the town. The miners down in Mingo laid their shovels down. We won't pull another pillow, another ton, or lift another finger till the union we have won. Stand up, boys, let the bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low. There's fire in our hearts and fire in our soul, but there ain't gonna be no fire in the hole.
This is the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren, with the Colorado AFL-CIO and Denver Newspaper Guild. We have a special episode today recorded at the Colorado State Capitol. First, we'll hear from Stephen Lustig, a rank-and-file member of the Colorado Independent Drivers United, CWA. He'll be talking about Senate Bill 98, a gig worker transparency bill. Next, we'll hear from Tamika Austin, a Teamster and UPS driver. Nationwide, the Teamster's contract expires July 31st of this year, with negotiations ramping up right now. Tamika Austin serves as a trustee and shop steward at her local. Both conversations were recorded during a training program that brings rank-and-file union members to the Colorado State Capitol to learn the legislative process. We'll be continuing to share these conversations throughout the coming months. Now let's hear our conversation with Stephen Lustig.
Okay, great. Welcome to the Labor Exchange, Stephen. My name's Robert. I'm with the Colorado AFL-CIO. We're talking with Stephen Lustig, a Uber and Lyft driver, or Uber driver, and union member. But we're going to start, we like to start by getting to know our guests a little better. Can you just tell me a bit about yourself?
Well, I do drive Uber and Lyft, and I'm a member and organizer and speaker with CIDU, the Colorado Independent Drivers United. We are the Rideshare Drivers Union. For those in Colorado, that includes Uber and Lyft drivers, delivery drivers, pedicab drivers, and pretty much any delivery and anybody else that wants to join taxi as well, and limousine drivers. We're trying to get any kind of drivers we can into the union and to advocate for their rights and, you know, to tell pretty much these companies that we deserve to be treated fairly and compensated equitably.
Great. And I'm detecting a bit of an accent. What brought you to Colorado?
Well, I've been out here over 15 years. I'm originally from upstate New York, Syracuse, and came out here because I wanted to get out of the East Coast and like Colorado, and it's been good so far. I really like the vibe out here, and even being involved in the legislature and getting involved in the politics here, it is definitely different than out on the East Coast. And I feel like there's a lot of opportunity out here, whereas a lot of things are kind of already dug in on the East Coast. But you're able to, I think, create something new or go in different directions out west. It offers a lot more opportunities to change things up.
Yeah. And so as an Uber driver, what do you think the general public, you know, doesn't know about that work or doesn't understand, you know, in general?
Well, what I think that they might not understand is how we are particularly compensated when it comes to the companies, particularly in recent years. Uber and Lyft have been taking more and more of our fares. Used to be down to like 25% to 30%. Now they're taking the lion's share of it. And one of the things that we want to do is have it more transparent, both for the riders and the passengers, so that the passengers can also see where their money is going and see how much of the fare that they're paying is going to the drivers versus how much is going to the companies.
Yeah. Hey, one of the things I happen to know about you, because we've spent a couple of days here at the Capitol, is that you, in addition to riding for Uber, you have a couple other gigs. What are some of the other things you do?
Well, yeah, I got a bunch of different gig jobs. So I host the trivia and bingo for several places, Volchanky Ciders and Pizzeria Leopold in the Denver and Lakewood areas. I also work on political and union campaigns, drive, and pick up any other kind of gigs that I can. Puts food on the table.
Yeah. How do you organize your work around Uber? I've known some cab drivers, some that are sort of airport folks. They stay at the airport. There's folks that only work the nights. They like the, you know, bringing people home safe. You know, some folks like the days. They want to bring folks to their appointments, those sorts of things. So, you know, how do you organize your work?
I usually tend to do weekends and evenings. A lot of people don't like doing the bar shifts when people are going out. And then, of course, at the pickup time when it's closing time. I personally don't mind it. It comes with its own pitfalls, but also advantages. You got to deal with more drunks. You got to deal with sometimes some shiftier characters. But I think that's also true even during the day. But I don't mind driving at night, less traffic for me personally. But everybody has their preferences. Some people really love doing mornings and doing more of the business style pickups and drop-offs. But and then sometimes you do weekends. Sometimes there's events. There's, you know, a Broncos game or Nuggets or something else, a concerts and things like that. So it all depends. But a lot of times with those special times, you're doing it when you're going to probably make the most money. So a lot of times you're trying to get the most surges out of it. You're trying to get bonuses and things like that. With the airport, a lot of those folks are the full-time workers. And when it dies down and it's not surging, a lot of times you can go to the airport and hang out and wait for rides. But sometimes drivers can be waiting there for hours before they get anything. So that definitely brings on how much they're taking home overall.
Yeah. So you've been here at the Capitol with us as part of our program called the Labor Lobby Corps, where we bring rank and file union members, teach them how this building works and how to advocate. What's your experience been so far?
Well, it's been very eye-opening. It's been fascinating to see how state government works in Colorado and seeing kind of how the bacon is made and seeing things from the other side and seeing what it takes to put a bill together, how to get the coalitions together, and how many review processes there are, and in order to pass it, and all the little parliamentary tricks involved as well, just to get things passed and to try to get laws on the books. It's a very interesting process. And then, again, I think Colorado has, because of the being out west here and having that good governance kind of mindset, which, is, you know, it's not perfect, of course. There's always going to be some corruption and malfeasance going on with any government. But out here, it seems like it's a bit more open than a lot of other state governments. So it's been very fascinating to see how, you know, these bills come to pass. It's kind of like a real life, you know, like how a bill becomes a law, like Schoolhouse Rock experience. But I've had Robert as my personal bill here to show me along and
Yeah, well, and your union and you are advocating for some specific legislation around transparency in gig work, in delivery, in Uber and other rideshare companies. Can you briefly explain the sort of the basics of what we're trying to accomplish here and why you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, so we have the Gig Work Transparency Bill, Senate Bill 98, which it does primarily two things. First, it would require Uber and Lyft to be more transparent with the rides that are offered to us. We are considered independent contractors, 1099 workers. So we are supposed to, by law, get all the information up front so that we can make informed decisions on rides that we want to either accept or turn down and not be penalized for either one. And we don't feel like Uber and Lyft are doing that. They're very selective on the information that they give us. They've started to open up a little bit more and present more information because we've applied the pressure to them, but still not fully transparent. That's why we got to keep the heat on them in order to do that. We want both the drivers and the passengers to be aware of like how much we're getting and where all the money is going to. Secondly, we want to set up an appeals process for deactivated drivers. I've talked to many drivers over the course of my organizing work where they've been deactivated because a passenger maybe lied about them, said that they smelled alcohol on them. This happened to even Muslim drivers who've never touched alcohol in their lives, but they were accused of supposedly smelling like alcohol and had their driving privileges taken away, and they didn't have a way to make money for their families and themselves. And I've spoken with many folks. A lot of times they just do it and they can take you off and don't even call you and ask you first. They just take you off and you're not allowed to drive and you can't even plead your case. So what this would do is set up a separate group with the government that would review process so that drivers could appeal these decisions and say, you know, I think this should be reviewed and I should be let back on so I can continue to earn a living.
Well, and part of your advocacy on this bill was before this, the week before, you were at the Capitol giving testimony. Can you describe a bit about what that was like physically, like what it was like, where it happened, and then, you know, what it's like, you know, to prepare yourself for advocating in a public forum like that?
I've given testimony a few times here at the Colorado Capitol, and it's very interesting being able to actually look at and talk directly to legislators and to tell them your story. And then they ask questions, and particularly with ones that are more pro-business and pro-Uber and Lyft, and they'll argue for them and oftentimes present even sometimes ridiculous arguments. And it's fun being able to kind of disprove those right to their faces. And I've done that a few times where I was like, no, that's not exactly it. And sometimes having a good retort to kind of cut into their entire argument, which is a lot of times just based on defending these companies.
Yeah, well, and it's important to have, if you can bring true knowledge of something and it's being described in public in one way and you know the truth of it. There was a long time ago working on an overtime bill. And frankly, one of the departments said, you know, oh, we don't do that. And I happened to have the document that showed how they do that. And I got that into the committee room and shared with the committee in time. And wouldn't you know, we got what we needed that day. What has been the biggest challenge being here at the Capitol this week?
Let's see, the biggest challenge being at the Capitol, I guess kind of learning the ropes here and seeing how things are accomplished, kind of going into a lot of these other hearings and listening in. Some are very fascinating and you're like, you find it kind of riveting. And then others, of course, are just boring and you're sitting through it. And other times they can be either tedious or they can be very enlightening. It really all depends on, you know, who's being called up to testify, who the legislators are on the committee, and what the issue is. If it's a very contentious issue, that usually leads to more fireworks and more heated debate, but also more engaging back and forth as well. Whereas feel like the things that are not as controversial may be a bit more boring. They just kind of fly under the radar. No one gets heated and it's not as vigorously argued. Doesn't mean that's not important, but doesn't get as many emotions involved, which is also probably a good thing as well, because that can also muddle, you know, muddy the waters a bit.
And were you able to speak with your House rep or your senator?
Yes, I was. I was able to speak with State Representative Elizabeth Epps and State Senator Chris Hansen, who represent my districts in Capitol Hill, Denver.
And what was that experience like?
I thought we had a good, back and forth getting to speak with them. Ms. Epps, Representative Epps, used to be a driver herself, and she relayed some of her experiences doing that. And it felt like she kind of understood where I was coming from when I was describing what we're fighting for. And Senator Hansen seemed very receptive to and open to, what we're fighting for.
Well, yeah, and we actually, with Stephanie V. Hill, who's the sponsor of the bill that you're advocating for, also does delivery through app-based services. So interesting that we have a few folks who have done this work only in this incoming class. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, one of our other participants today happens to work at the airport, but also mentioned that, you know, on his downtime, he's doing Uber as well. What's that like when you sort of connect with someone in one context and you find out that you both share that you're working Uber?
Well, that's wonderful. And by the way, Representative V. Hill is a member and organizer with the CIDU as well. And I love her work and I think she's doing a great job. But when you find out that other people are involved in that, it is cool to have that connection and say like, oh, so what are your experiences? And, you know, how have you kind of regarded that? And how do you deal with these kind of issues? And really to get them on board and say like, hey, you know, why don't you join up with us? We could, you know, use you, particularly when I'm talking to like, you know, a lot of the folks that are in this program right now, they're delivery drivers. And I'm like, well, you know, we need more of those folks too, because they even said, well, it seems a very weighed in on Uber and Lyft. And I said, yeah, at the moment, but we are expanding out and we need more delivery drivers. We need more pedicab drivers. We need taxi drivers. We need limo drivers. We need a lot of other voices to contribute so that we can really start fighting for all drivers.
And with anything either about this program at the Capitol this week or about just advocating, you know, at any level, you know, what advice or thoughts would you give to other union members that are sitting there thinking, man, I want to start making sure my voice is heard. I want to start, you know, doing things like Steven's doing at the Capitol.
The best thing you can do is join up first, become a member and get involved with what we're doing. That's how I started. We got lots of stuff that we're planning for this summer. Yeah, and the best thing to do is just to get involved. I mean, that's praxis. That's, you know, rolling up your sleeves and getting involved in that work, because we can only do it if we have the people power. They have all the money power. They have the corporate power. They have the institutional power, government power, et cetera, et cetera. We just have the people power. And that's why we need the people to really, again, power what we're doing and to get out there, talk to folks, to organize, and to really make these things come true, because we're nothing without our members and without the activists that make these things happen. And we like to be a very active and almost, I would say, militant in a positive way, that we're not just collecting dues and saying, okay, well, we're just representing you. No, we're actually fighting for this. That's why we unveiled the gig work transparency bill. That's why we're organizing these strikes to send messages to Uber and Lyft. That's why we're doing these things to actually make a difference and make things better for our drivers.
That's a great way to end it. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's a pleasure. I've had a great experience here at the Capitol this week, and I can't wait to do even more work.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much.
That was our conversation with Steven Lustig, an Uber and Lyft driver with Colorado Independent Drivers United. Next, we'll hear from Tamika Austin, a Teamster and UPS driver.
All right. Thank you so much for being willing to talk with me. We'll start by telling me your name and then spelling your last name.
My name is Tamika. My last name is Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N.
Great. We actually like to start off the show by asking folks a pretty general question. So tell me about yourself.
Well, let's see. I'm a mom to two boys, a grown child, 25, and a 14. Well, actually, he'll be 15 in about a week. I am a UPS driver and a trustee on the board of Teamsters Local 455.
Okay, great. And you're here with us at the Capitol because you're participating in a program that trains union members to learn how to advocate at the Capitol. Why did you decide to come here this week?
I want to be educated so I can educate our members about how important the process is. I feel like we've kind of gotten away from grassroots, getting back to the nitty-gritty of why you need to call your legislators and why you should be involved. So I thought this was a good point for me to know so I could communicate back with our members.
That's great. And you had mentioned you're a UPS driver. What's it like to work for UPS? And do you do deliveries?
Yes, I have a route. My customers are pretty gay. What's it like to deliver for UPS? The job is fun. The antics of employers, it's pretty much the same. I think it doesn't matter where you work. There's labor issues everywhere. UPS has their own set of labor issues. So it's important that our members are informed.
Well, and you're coming up on a pretty important contract negotiations. You know, how are you feeling about it?
I hope that we get the best contract for our members, because the pandemic showed that commerce that we're in and delivering packages. You cannot get anything without packages. It's probably easier for me to tell you what we don't deliver than what we do deliver. The pandemic showed that We needed package car drivers. It's a dangerous job. It's an essential job. We deliver medicine. We deliver. It's not just delivering makeup and fun stuff anymore. It's serious stuff. I have a nursing home on my route. We need those package car drivers to be able to deliver packages to people that can't get out. And so I hope that the company comes to us with a contract that values us the way that we should be valued as their commerce, the way they make money.
Yeah, no, I remember that completely. I worked at a veterinary clinic and our UPS delivery was incredibly important every week. And it's that kind of healthcare where you need those supplies and there's no other way to get them. And that consistent delivery was good. I also would mention, I really did appreciate having, you know, the same person in that route in the same way we have our unionized USPS workers. You know, you start to get to know people after, you know, 10 years of them coming in every time. And our delivery driver comes up for us at the AFL, of course, a Teamster. Always try to give him a little swag, a little bit cool stuff if we got anything in the office when he comes to deliver. With this program in the Capitol, where you are learning how to advocate, how's your experience been?
This has been absolutely wonderful. One of my best friends is like super political. He can explain everything to me. Now I feel like I can go back to him and say, well, this is what I learned, and I can be an active participant in what goes on. And then it makes me more wanting to really talk to people about it because I have knowledge and I can explain to them, this is how a bill starts. And it starts with an idea, you know, this is why you should be involved with who is your representative, because now I'm going to send out the link so you can find your legislator and reach out to them when you have an issue. Instead of just complaining about laws, realize that we have a General Assembly and you have all this time to reach out to your legislators. And if you don't like something, say something. And if they don't give you the answer you want, then you go to somebody else and keep on until you get your point across.
Well, and that's even something we look to for support in things like your upcoming contract negotiations. We ask questions on if folks have gotten out to rallies. Were you there when UFCW members were on strike? Were you there when the UAW was on strike? Did you come out for our John Deere workers? And so there are folks that have made a commitment in this building to get out in the streets and be there with members when they're facing that adversity. Were you able to talk with your House rep or senator today?
I was able to talk to both my House rep and my senator. My senator was Tom Sullivan. I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times. And then Eliza Hemrick. I had never met her. And every senator or representative I've met have all been so welcoming, whether or not they represented me or not. They all took the time to speak with me. And I think that's what made this experience so nice, is that they were approachable. I think sometimes we kind of forget that these are regular people that are, they're doing a service for all of us, and they're coming up with these laws that affect us. And so they could be your neighbor. And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah. That aspect of being able to demystify the Capitol is what I like about it. I sometimes refer to this as the Wizard of Oz program. We are lifting the veil and it's showing the wizard behind, but also the challenging the assumptions. Cause yeah, you assume a politician will be in some specific way, or even, just an assumption of how things will go. And then, people are eager to hear from their constituents and eager to hear from people in the world. You know, you've been through this for 3 days. What's the biggest challenge you think you've come up with at this point?
I think the biggest challenge that we'll have, especially with labor, is, and I think all unions find this challenge, is communicating, especially to this younger generation, because I always tell people the face looks really young, but I'm a little bit older than I look, and I have the kids who are in their 20s and the 15-year-old. We have to be able to communicate with these younger generations how important it is to really be involved in the process and realize, just like I have this opportunity, I'm going to bring my son and his best friends who are in high school down here, and I'm going to take them on a tour and show them what I've learned. And we need to get the younger generation involved. I think that's our biggest challenge.
So how'd you get started working at UPS?
I actually started there. I hit 20 years in December. The first year I just stayed because it was a cool little part-time job. I was like, I'm going to lose some weight. And then I was like, I'll stay for 5 and then I'm done. And then, let's see, after 5, the God universe had other plans. And then it turned into, I think I'm going to be here longer than I've planned. And then I decided to become a driver. And then My mentor, Scott Ford, I used to just talk to him, and he said, I want you to be my next steward. And that's how my union career kind of took off. And I just hope I can be as great as he is as a person. That's all.
Well, and I love the term steward because I think it's really sort of built into the fabric of unions. The fact that we are stewarding these organizations, the AFL, which I work for, started in 1896. And I do feel that I'm a steward of that complete history. What, when you took on the role of steward, how did you learn how to be a good steward?
I listened to my members because it wasn't something that was on my radar. All I had to go by is that I liked this guy, Scott Ford. I thought he was pretty cool. But he's a business agent, so he's out representing the bigger group. And so I had to listen to my members. My center was historically a challenge center. We became a family, which is what the unions are founded on. Most unions, it's about the family and, you know, your work family and your regular family, and it all kinds of blend in. And I listened to my members, and I filed grievances when they told me I shouldn't have. And I said, hey, we're going to win together. We're going to die together, but we're in this together. And so that's how it happened. I really listened to the guys because I really had no clue what I was doing.
How long have you been a shop steward?
About 12, 13 years now. It's, yeah.
All right, great. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners?
I think I hope that every person who listens to this takes an opportunity to come down here because this capital, this is our capital, this is your legislators. Come down here and find out who your legislator is. Be involved in the process so that you don't feel like, what's going on? How did this happen? And then you're informed. And then you're not getting your information secondhand. You can come see it for yourself.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
This has been the Labor Exchange on KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren. We are a member of the Labor Radio Podcast Network. Find more great Labor Radio at www.laborradionetwork.org. Tune in next week at the same time for Lelucha Sige.
I don't want your millions, mister. I don't want your pleasure yacht. All I want's just food for my baby. Give to me my old job back. We worked to build this country, mister, while you enjoyed a life of ease. You've stolen all that we built, mister. Now our children starve and freeze. So I don't want your millions, mister. I don't want your diamonds.